Ian Holliday, thank you very much for being with us today. You're focusing on Myanmar and on the transition towards democracy, and you've also raised questions about a sense of fear in society and the kind of effects that is having on the process. Where does that come from?
There are really three types of fear that I think are present in the society. There's an ongoing vertical fear of the state and its agents. There's a horizontal fear of other groups in society. And there's what you might call an inbred fear, which is generated by many decades of authoritarianism. I think the one that's most interesting at the moment is the horizontal, the one that's really driven at the level of societal actors and social groups, because there is fear across particularly the interfaith divide, the religious divide. We're seeing Muslim groups, and particularly the Rohingya in Rakhine State. They actually live in other parts of the country, but their main population concentration is in Rakhine State. We're seeing them being targeted by Rakhine Buddhists, or in other parts of the country by Burmese Buddhists. There's real interfaith tension and often conflict and sometimes violence in the society. And on the other side, of course, Aung San Suu Kyi herself has said this, that there's a Buddhist fear of incursion. And they're fearful, and the discourse there is a fear of this being the latest in a number of Buddhist societies over the centuries that have been taken over by Islam. Whilst I think the fear on the Buddhist side is a fear of long-term consequences. If we don't control this now, we will lose control of our own society. The fear, of course, on the Muslim side is a day-to-day fear, a fear of being attacked, a fear of having your house burnt down, a fear of having your livelihood withdrawn from you. So there are different types of fear now emerging in the society.
How does this fear on one side or the other affect the democratic transition that's been going on for several years now?
It generates a dimension which is of great concern both inside the country and outside. Population segregation, particularly in Rakhine State. There are no Muslims living alongside Buddhists these days. In Sitwe, which used to be a 50-50 population split, and you did have people trading with each other, mixing with each other, playing with each other, you now have a very small Muslim quarter, which even the UN Special Rapporteur, Mr. Quintana, has called a ghetto. And that's really not today where most of the Muslims live. They, in fact, mostly live in IDP camps. There's 140,000 Muslims living in IDP camps. They have no access to work. They have little access to medical facilities. They have little access to education. We're seeing some of those facilities already being withdrawn, in that Médecins Sans Frontières, which was present in the IDP camps until 10 days ago, is now not allowed to work in Rakhine State. Its activities were entirely suspended across the state by the government. And that happened in response to social pressure, to popular pressure. Most days in Rakhine State, there are now in Sitwe protests against international engagement. They were focused on MSF in particular, which was seen as being biased in its provision of healthcare. But with MSF now gone, they're moving on to other international actors. And this is dragging on the democratic transition. We're seeing the attention of actors across the spectrum, both domestic actors, international actors, are being drawn away from building a democratic future. How can I put it? To these more fundamental conflicts and tensions in the society.
Is the government as well moving away from the reforms? We've been talking about more media freedom. There's obviously investment, freer foreign activity inside Myanmar.
The government is only committed to building a disciplined, flourishing democracy. So this is a top-down democratization process, and is intended to stop at a certain point, not to become a full liberal democracy, but to become a kind of Southeast Asian-style, authoritarian, semi-democracy, hybrid democracy, something along those lines. Is the government itself pulling back from even that agenda? To some extent, yes. I think what we're finding now is that everybody's become more cautious. There was a fairly long honeymoon period from, say, the transition to quasi-civilian government in March 2011 for about a year and a half. That's definitely over now. Everybody's more cautious. The NLD and the USDP, the governing party, those two major forces representing the military and the opposition, they're playing a chess game at the moment, positioning for the 2015 general election, trying to ensure that they're well placed to win that. And frankly, that is going to dominate politics for the next year and a half until that election is out of the way. And so I don't think there's going to be any major moves forward.
You mentioned Aung San Suu Kyi, NLD, National League for Democracy. Is it actually functioning as an opposition? Are the elections in 2015 holding them back to such an extent that, for example, even to make any comment about Rakhine State? Because they do seem to be ignoring that very big issue.
They are functioning as an opposition on every question except for that one. So in many areas, they will protest issues of media freedom. They will contest issues that come before the parliament. Certainly in committee, they will try to ensure that there is a better law, draft law produced for legislation. And we've just seen that on media freedom, actually, and we've also seen it on protests. They've managed through the parliament to ensure that all you now need to do is to notify the authorities of an upcoming protest rather than seek permission. So in those areas, they're making progress through the parliament. But the issue of the Rohingya in particular, Buddhist-Muslim relations more generally, the NLD is virtually silent on that.
Ian Holliday, thank you very much for speaking to us today.